Hello. Today is August 29th, 2026. Welcome to the OA Working with Others sponsorship meeting. Now, Grisha will share for up to 20 minutes on working with others and sponsorship.
All right, thank you. Hi everyone. I'm Grisha, compulsive overeater. Thanks for hosting this meeting. Lots of fun faces here. Let's see. Well, just a little bit about me. I've been in OA and abstinent for 28 years, and I have maintained. I'm a 100 pounder, so my top weight was 320 pounds. I'm a sedentary person, so I've maintained a weight loss of over 120 pounds now for all these years, 28 years, 27 years, however long it took to lose it. And I've been a sponsor and I've been sponsored for 36 years because I'm a member of another fellowship. I'm actually in three 12-step programs. And I think over the years, my feelings about sponsorship and the actual procedural the part of it, if you will, has changed and morphed, and I feel like I have a really good hybrid way to be sponsored and to sponsor. And yeah, so I'll just share my thoughts on it. I would say that I came into OA in 1998, and I was 12-stepped by a friend in another fellowship, and my first meeting was called the Lifeboat Meeting. It was in San Francisco, where I live now. And there it was a giant meeting with like 100 people and a giant literature table and a big tea service. And everybody was happy and joyous and free. And there was, speakers that were great and positive pitch every 2-minute positive pitches at the end of the meeting. And I've really held on to that idea of we are in a lifeboat together. Like we survived the storm and the sea of compulsive eating. I was adrift in this, I started eating compulsively when I was a teenager, and I didn't find OA until I was 30. And it was a miracle beyond miracles that I got abstinent. And because of abstinence, like I mentioned, I lost 120 pounds. I live in a healthy body. I started running marathons. I lost asthma. I had chronic asthma my whole life, and abstinence cured my asthma. So that was really unexpected weirdness. So anyway, in this lifeboat, here we go, row, 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 row. We're rowing together. And when I think of sponsorship, I really don't ever think of it as a hierarchy or, like these levels of membership. I just think we're doing this together, like Bill and Bob in the AA days. In fact, I like to sometimes call it the Bill and the Bob because it's really just two compulsive eaters getting together, trying to do together what we couldn't do alone. And for me, over the years, that has looked different with different sponsors and sponsees. And I think what I like to do whenever I get a new sponsee is to offer them, flexibility in how they want to be sponsored. I'm not one of these people that. I hear lots of people talk about sponsors who like, you will do this and you will do it my way and you will, follow these demands. And I'm not that kind of a sponsor and I don't want to be sponsored that way. My first sponsor in OA, I met because we went to the same 7 a.m. meeting on Saturdays and then we went to the same writing meeting after that meeting. And so we just had this natural flow where we went to a meeting, we went to the writing meeting and did step work, and then we sat in the park and talked about what we wrote and how we see this the particular step we were on. And that sponsor moved away, and then I got a sponsor who definitely has a very specific way that she sponsored, and it rocketed my world. So a lot of what she did is what I now do, and I'll share some of the great things that she did. That helped me a lot. So I have a sponsee in all three of my 12-step programs. In OA, I have two sponsees because I spend summers in Spain and I picked up a sponsee there, and there are no live OA meetings in the village where that friend is. So some of the tools I've used and still use are the OA workbook. That's what I like to use with new sponsees. And I also with one of my sponsees, we got a large print AA big book and we converted it to an OA big book. So we went through and everywhere it said alcoholic, we crossed it out and wrote compulsive eater. Wherever it said John Barleycorn, we wrote Betty Crocker. And we just kind of like, we converted it and it was a really fun process. And it was a really like line by line by line study of the big book. Now, I did that with a sponsee who we'd already gone through the steps with. So that was kind of like an ex a little extra. And that's what I do with my OA sponsor currently. We've been through all the steps, all the literature. We've worked the steps many times together. So now we're choosing other creative books to study. So let's see. Step one, I always ask my sponsee, like I was asked, to write a letter and send it to me, prove to me that you are a compulsive eater. Like, what's your problem? Tell me, give me proof. I want proof because when you say, I'm not sure if I'm really a compulsive eater, I want to send that letter back to you. I like that act, that exercise. It's part of like the food inventory in step one in the workbook, but I ask them to actually write it to me and give me all the gory details and examples of how terrible it was. And I share how terrible it was with me, which was pretty terrible. And then step one, then we go through the workbook. And you know, in my workbook, I actually just ran into a glitch because I have my workbook that I wrote with that first sponsor in 1998 when I came into the program. And whenever I sponsor someone, I'm not going to ask them to do something I haven't done. So when they read me their question, their response to question one or question two or question 10, I read my response. It's the Bill and the Bob. It's like, well, here's what I was thinking. Well, here's what I was thinking. And then sometimes, you know, I'll say, oh my gosh, let me write that down. And I put it in a different color. And I give a little credit in my workbook to whatever sponsee said it, and vice versa. You know, I've had sponsees say, "Oh, I want to write that down." So I feel like together we get a really thorough investigation and you know thinking around each step. Step two, same thing. For me, step two was walking into that lifeboat meeting and deciding to climb into the lifeboat with all these other people and start rowing. Like I'm not a God person. I'm not someone who finds comfort in God. So it was a struggle for me in the beginning, but I definitely found spiritual energy power in OA. And, you know, as it says in the literature, OA can be my higher power. And it is. It's a higher power that keeps me abstinent. And so I don't, you know, I don't put a lot of time into like who's your higher power or what's your higher power. I'm just like, do you think this can work? I do because it worked for me. And so, and like, I believed it worked because I walked into the lifeboat meeting and there were 100 abstinent people there. So, it kind of like, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing? Here we go. Do you have faith that it could work? If not, why not? And if not, who cares? Try it anyway. That's the what kind of way I feel. Let's move on, you know, name your higher power or your non-higher power or whatever. And then step three for me, controversial in some circles. My food plan is how I do step three. Like I had to be willing. It's like, are you ready to eat a different way? Are you ready? Yes or no? If you're not, you better be willing. Pray for willingness. I used to always do in the beginning the half-ass willingness prayer, I call it, which is like, I don't really want to stop eating sugar forever. I really don't want to stop eating flour or grains ever. But I just pray for willingness to do those things because I know for me personally, those things were killing me. You know, my first food plan was 3 meals a day with no sugar. And that was great. I was losing the obsession. I was learning how to be abstinent, but I was losing, you know, a couple of pounds here and there. And after a year, I'd only lost 20 pounds or 25 pounds. And, I got really frustrated, but then I did the half-ass willingness prayer and I was willing to give up flour and grains and I lost another 100 pounds. Poof. And more importantly, I lost the obsession, which I kept holding on to. So I feel like I describe myself as comfortably abstinent. I don't struggle with food. I have a comfortable abstinence. So for me, step three is like, get your food plan. Like, are you ready? Are you willing? Turn it over to OA or whoever your higher power is, get ready, get on the ride here, get in the lifeboat. And one day at a time, one meal at a time, be willing to stay abstinent. And I liked at some point someone said, don't say I can't be abstinent. That's not honest. We can all be abstinent. You could just change it to I won't be abstinent. That's more honest. It's like I'm not willing because really, I mean, when you go to put something in your mouth, it can be abstinent or not. And that is where I had to use a lot of tools to not put whatever my drug foods were in my mouth one day at a time, one meal at a time. And sometimes it was just like, go get in bed. That's what I tell my sponsee, like, if you're struggling at night with night eating, go to bed, go to sleep, wake up abstinent, or go run around the block or do something, lock yourself in a closet. So for step three, I really feel like, it's you're willing if you're on your food plan, or if I'm on my food plan, I'm willing to stay abstinent. And my higher power, I'm turning it over in effect because I'm not taking my will back. One of my sponsors said, you might not know what God's will for you is, but you probably know what God's will isn't for you. And God's will is not for me to be a depressed, compulsive eater, sitting 300 pounds in a dark room, smoking, chain smoking cigarettes, eating, drinking, and watching porn. Nobody wants that for me. So at least I can back away from that behavior. And then step four, I love the big book format. I love the OA 12 and 12 and all the questions in it. I love the workbook. This is where I just ran into a glitch because with my sponsee, we were going question by question through the workbook, and we got to six. It was like 6A and 6B, and I was like, "What? I don't have 6A and B." So anyway, he had the new second edition workbook, so I need to, and I've committed to, like, while he's doing his fourth step, I'm gonna get I've got the new one, and now I'm going to start answering those questions that I never had in my first edition. So I love the workbook. I love the way you just methodically go through it, week after week or day after day or month after month, however long it takes, and do the Bill and the Bob. I read it, you read it. Let's, see what we come up with together, The fifth step for me was in my original fifth step, way, 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 way back. I had a list of character defects. I was really relieved to find out that I wasn't a completely broken human. I just had some things to work on, these same patterns. I was like, oh, look at that pattern I never knew was there. So I try to help my sponsees find their pattern. And my sponsor, when I did my fifth step, said, you might want to think about self-righteous indignation and unrealistic expectations. And I did the puppy dog sideways look. What is that? And those are my two most glaring defects. So the fifth step helped me name my two most glaring defects. Sometimes, like they say, you can't fix a broken brain with a broken brain. So you need somebody to step in. So I feel like the fifth step is a way for like some sanity to step in. Six and seven, I love the way my second sponsor helped me work that those steps. And basically, the questions are, so basically I take my and I make my sponsees, I don't make my sponsees, I offer this to my sponsees because it helped me a lot, where you take all your character defects, and then for each defect you have to write and answer three questions. How did that defect help me and save my life in the past? Because it for some at some point it was effective, it was really working. And the second question is, how has it now outlived its usefulness and how is it now hurting you? And the third question is, if you were to have it lifted, or if you would be willing to have it lifted, what would it look like? How would you behave? What kind of thing, how would that like actually look in your life? And that was a wild and amazing piece of surgery to do, to really understand deeply every defect. And it's in page, it's in the OA 12 and 12. The two of the questions are in step six and one is in step seven. So, but I did them as six and seven. And then my sponsor had me do for the seventh step, take each character defect and do a fill in the blank sentence frame, as we call it in kindergarten, where you say, my creator, please remove from me the defect of fill in the blank, and then say the whole seventh step prayer. And then you do that for each defect. And so I did that on a beach in Hawaii. And then for steps eight and nine, That's pretty straightforward. Who have you harmed? I love in OA that we can put ourselves at the top of the list. I really hurt myself with compulsive eating, morbid obesity, isolation. I hurt myself badly. And now I have loose skin, stretch marks, not the I will never have without a lot of expensive surgery
5 minutes.
the body. Oh wow, holy moly. Okay. Anyway, so 8 and 9 is like make amends to yourself by staying abstinent. I do. I make that's my the way I make amends to myself is to stay abstinent and keep working the steps. And so I just help my sponsees think about like what harm have we done, and how to make amends. I have lots of experience with different like financial, spiritual, emotional amends to people. So I just share my experience with each sponsee, and I try to help them figure out a plan. And I don't know. Sometimes I just say, I don't know about that one, and then, or we're a big network, so I can say, oh, you know what? I remember so and so talking about that at a meeting. Maybe you could call them, So anyway, then again, that stuff that sponsor that had me do the 6th and 7th also had me do the 10th step in a very specific way. Every day, every night before bed, I had to write down, handwrite the 3rd step prayer. And she would say, when you handwrite things, it slows your mind down to the speed of a pen moving across the page, and you'll be surprised what comes out. So I wrote the 3rd step prayer, I wrote all my fears, angers, resentments, and then I had to handwrite the 7th step prayer. And then I had to call her every morning and read the whole kit and caboodle to her. And I mean, God love her for putting up with hearing that crap every morning. And but what it did is it took me out of what I call terminal vagueness. It's like I could no longer be like, I hate my job. It's like, well, why? What's happening? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to say the same thing every day, every day? And so through that process of that daily 10th step and verbalizing it and writing it and verbalizing it, in that year, holy moly, I asked for a promotion and got it, hated that job that I got, quit it, went back to school full time, changed careers. I was terminally single, sexual anorexic. I jokingly say, half jokingly say, I dated 90 men in 90 days and, met a partner, moved in with my partner. I mean, like wild stuff happened, made complete amends to my mom after years of saying, I hate my mom. So that 10th step rocked my world. And so I always offer that to sponsees. I'm not sure I can be on the phone every morning and hear the whole thing, but I think the process is pretty amazing. Only a couple minutes to go here. 11th step, I struggled with that because of my struggle with higher power, like having any kind of understanding or misunderstanding of a higher power. But at some point, someone said, if you're not working the 11th step, you're not working all the steps. So the way I work that step and the way I offer to my sponsees is if you read the daily readers, that can be your prayer. That's my prayer. I just read the OA for Today and Voices of Recovery, and I read a bunch of other ones from my other programs, and I throw in some Buddhist stuff, which is an outside issue. But and I meditate and I write, and so I just do what I do. That's what I do. And I always just offer my sponsees, like, this is what I do. Try it out. And I don't insist that they do. I just see, try it and see what works for you. And then 12th step, I love sponsorship. I love that we have found the lifeboat and we are surviving, the disease. There's so many people suffering. I see them at work. I see them on the street. I see them in my family. Oh my gosh, I'm baby of 6 and there's lots of grandkids and we all have the disease of compulsive eating, alcoholism, negativity, like a lot of bad stuff. And I'm grateful because we have the tools here and together we can do what we can't do alone. It's that, the Roseanne's Unity Prayer, that thing is like a tearjerker every time. We are so lucky. And I meet with my sponsor every Sunday. We dive into different literature. We are spiritual friends. I found out recently that he has very different politics than I. He's been sponsoring me for like 10 or 15 years, and I had no idea. It was an accident. I was like, oh no, I wish I didn't know that. But principles before personalities, it's an outside issue. We work together on spiritual recovery. And with my sponsee, we meet every week after we attend a meeting together, and we go through the workbook, the big books, everything. And my sponsee in Spain, same thing. It's a little bit more tricky because we're on Zoom. So anyway, oh, that's it. That's my experience, strength, and hope of sponsorship. I hope somebody heard something good, and I hope I didn't say the wrong thing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Grisha. I will now stop the recording.